Okay, Perek Beis, Pasuk Tezvav. I'm probably going to have to put on the screen now. Let me just read. Let's chaz the psukim very quickly. Then I'll put on the screen. I'll put on the screen the radak. Okay, let's chaz the psukim. The pasuk begins. Pasuk Tezvav in Chavakuk. Perek Beis, Pasuk Tezvav. Hoy wo mashke re'eyu. According to, I'm going to put you on. Put everyone here on mute. Sorry for being so rude. Here we go. Okay, so hoy wall over here, according to the simple understanding, we're talking either about Nebuchadnezzar or about the Malchus of Edom. They start out as our friend, and then they turn on us and they give us to drink from the toxic cup, as Reb Michal likes to call it. Hoy wall, mashkei re'ehu. When the friend, Re'ehu, their friend, his friend, gives him to drink. What does he give him to drink? He gives him to drink Misapech HaMoscha, although like the Mitzudas for now, he collects Misapech HaMoscha. It is a collection. He collects his anger. Over the long period of time, our enemies, They get angry at us. They are filled with moments of hate, which they suppress, and they collect all of those feelings of hatred until it gushes out with intensity. And that's what has happened during the First Crusade. That is what has happened in time of the Holocaust. That's what happened during all of the expulsions. This is the story of Jewish history. Is that it's builds up, the hatred builds up, it's misapeach. They collect chamosicha, your anger. They collect, Pasuk is addressing our enemies, and then they give us to drink. And when they give us to drink from the toxic cup, they don't just give us a sip. They give us the af shaker. They give us a full dosage so that we should become intoxicated. Why do they hate us so much? What is the goal of their hatred? Nothing. There's nothing in it for them. In fact, it's suicidal. It's harmful for them. But the hatred is so great. Leman habit al me'oirehem. It's only that our enemies, they can look, they can gaze at our humiliation, our nakedness. Okay, this pasuk that we said yesterday many times is one of the powerful psukim that discusses anti-Semitism. Anti-Semitism has no goal. It's just irrational. It's just to see us naked. So vata kolayin mikavod, another expression, they choose to sate themselves with witnessing our shame more than their own honor. They could achieve great results in this world and have great honor, but they choose to forfeit that potential in exchange for witnessing our disgrace. So Pasuk now shifts and curses our enemies. It says, Shesei gamata. You also, the day of reckoning will come. You also will drink from the toxic cup. Vehei orel. We learned yesterday two perushim for this word. Either it means, and you will also be exposed naked. That's what the Targum said. Or vehei orel means, you also will be confused. You also, your minds will suffer brain fog, will suffer the foreskin that covers the heart, that covers all the different parts of the mind. You also will be in such a state. Tisev alecha, it will come upon. Tisev alecha kois yimin Hashem. We have to reorder the words, that the right hand of Hashem will turn against you, and Hashem will give you to drink from the kois hatarela. V'ki koloin al kivodecha, your vomit will come out after you drink from this kois, and you're intoxicated, just like the drunks, they vomit. Likewise, you will vomit, that will come upon your face. Pasuk yitzayin ki chamas levonon yichasecha, the violence that you have done against you, Eretz Yisrael, which is called the Levanoin, or the Beis HaMikdash, it will cover you. The Shoid and the violence, Behemos, that you have committed against the Jewish people who live in the Levanon, that's how the Mitzudos understood, Yeh Chisan will cut you down. And then the pasuk repeats itself, this poetic repetition. It's all going to be in retribution, midmei adam, because of the blood of man that you have spilled, the chamas eretz, and the violence that you have brought upon the earth, kirya, including Yerushalayim, Yerakodesh, v'chol yoshevan, all those that live within. Okay, I just told you one very general translation. Obviously, there's a lot, there are many other translations. The Rashi we learned yesterday, we got a little bit of a taste of all the various translations, and now we're going to learn the Radak. And to do that, just give me very quickly. Putting humility aside, I think I'm getting better at this, getting faster at doing this. Let's see if I can take the screenshot quickly and put it on the screen. Here we go. Okay, got the screenshot. Back to Zoom, share screen, photo, images, file manager, images, camera. Here we go, select. Okay, it's so easy, even an adult can do it. All right, here we go. I am assuming you all can read this. Okay, and I'm assuming that you have the ability to use your fingers to enlarge it, or probably on the screen you have some technique to find a way, if you can't see the little letters, to enlarge it. Here we go. Hoy mashke reyehu. Nebuchadnezzar ha-yeshoyse u-mish ta-ker k'moshe kosavnu l'malo b'pasek v'yavkia yayin b'geid. The Yayin, we learned before, the Yayin has caused you to rebel. Nebuchadnezzar, we learned before, drank too much. He had too much to drink. He enjoyed himself in this world more than he should have. And that misled him. That dulled his senses. He pursued his desires, his material needs, and that dulled his senses, which caused him to forget there is a creator, if he ever believed in that to begin with. Chazal said he did originally, but he rebelled against Hashem. And here we are continuing in that theme according to the Radak. So it says over here is, according to the Radak, the point here is not just that Nebuchadnezzar gave someone else to drink. He drank together with them. I think someone here told me, I'll give you a marshal. Who told this to me? Maybe it was Rabbi Kallis told this to me, that Rav Huttner, Chaim Berlin, one of the big things that Rav Huttner did was he made a very lavish Sudas Purim. He taught the Bnei Torah that Purim is a very big holiday. He was one of the originators of uplifting the chashivas of Purim. And he had a mesiba. And Rav Huttner was able, this is what they tell me, to drink to no end. He can hold his liquor. He had no problem consuming bottles and bottles of alcoholic beverages without being affected. The alcohol didn't have much of an effect. I'm sure it did to a degree, but he never lost himself. However, his Talmidim were not made of that kind of stuff. And when his Talmidim would drink even a small amount of alcohol, they already were gone. They already were finished. They were done for the day. So they would come to the Mesiba, and Rav Chudna, they would pour him a cup of wine, and the Rebbe would lift up the cup of wine and say, L'chaim! L'chaim! And he would drink. And when the Rebbe drinks, the Hasidim drink. And then 5 minutes later, the Rebbe would pick up another cup of wine, L'chaim! And he drank, and when he drank, the Talmidim, the Hasidim drank. And this went on the whole night. By the end of the night, Rav Huda wasn't drunk, because, you know, for whatever reason, he was a very large person, or whatever his constitution was, he was not affected by alcohol. But the Talmidim, if every time the Rebbe goes L'chaim, they also drink a cup of wine, they're gone. They were gone. They were gone after the first cup. And that was indeed a very big problem. Okay, now, L'havdil elef alfei havdolos, Nebuchadnezzar did the same thing. Nebuchadnezzar, according to the Radak, says over here is that V'hoyomashke imoy. Okay, did the other commentators say the word imoy? I'm not so sure. Nebuchadnezzar, he drank with them. Nebuchadnezzar was not affected, but the other kings were affected. And this was a technique that he used to subdue and to manipulate the other kings. V'hoyu mashke imoy malchei ho'amim shoholich v'goyla. V'hoyu bevotei kiloim bebeso. They were imprisoned. He put them in political arrest. Okay, they were locked up in jail in his home. V'hoyu motziyam be'esh ho'yu roitza lishtois u'lehishtaker sheyishtakru imo. Bizarre, right? It sounds bizarre. Whenever he wanted to have a good drink, so he would take with him one of the kings that was locked up in prison, he would call him into his office, and he would have a l'chaim with him. And by having a l'chaim with him, they would become very quickly intoxicated, and he would, as we learned yesterday in Rashi, I'm assuming that this Radak of you is saying is something similar, is that he would then live with them. He would engage in Avera, in Mishkav Zoch Toeva, or maybe he manipulated their minds and he sent them back home at some point in time to institute different changes in their own home country to the benefit of Nebuchadnezzar. Re'eu kumo re'av. He learns over here is the word re'eu really means the plural. Even though we translated re'eu mashke re'ehu, his friend. He learns it means his friends. Okay, do not translate the word literally, but translate in the plural as re'eav, his friends. V'chein mogen gibor rehu, the shield of his warriors. V'his balaloi ba'ad re'ehu, when he prayed on behalf of his friends. Ukira'om re'eav l'fishem milochim kamahu. The reason why he calls the other kings his friends, because they had something in common. They were kings. Not that the word friend, it's not used the way we use the word friend as someone who you look out for their benefit. In our vocabulary, a friend is someone that you care about. You're trying to protect him. You're seeking his good and welfare. In the Radak's, in the way the Radak understands the usage of the word re'eu, it just means we have something in common, but I hate you. I have nothing to do with you. I'll kill you. I will take advantage of you. That's all the word re'eu here means in this context when we are looking at the word from the perspective of Nebuchadnezzar. Again, to review, and the first point was, when it says here re'eu, it does not mean his friend. It means his friends, b'lashon rabin. He drank with them in order to do with them averos, in order to manipulate them. Next words are misapech hamoscha, v'hoya. Now, how does he translate the word misapeach? V'hoya misapeach lochem chamas hayayim l'man yishtu tamid v'yishtaku. He would collect lochem, misapeach lochem chamas hayayim. He's not really translating the word misapeach. If you go down a couple of lines down, he says misapeach means in dibuk. He would connect. Dibuk kmo sifacheni no tachas charul yisupachu. It means gather me in to connect. So here it's v'hoyu misapech lohem chamas hayayin. He would connect them with the anger of wine. I guess that means that he would intoxicate them and bring them to a mental state that was not healthy. He would, I don't know what he means by the Hamas. Laman yishtu tamid. Okay, he would make them addicted. He would engage them in this activity continuously so that they were addicted to wine. The yishtakru. They didn't have Alcoholic Anonymous there, I guess. Vezehu aviav shaker. Vahoya vegam hoya mishaker oisam al karcham. He would force them. Afilu lo yirtzu kedei lisleitzeitz v'luloik aleihem, in order to lisleitzeitz, in order to make leitzanis and to mock them. Now, if you take this, what he just said over here, the parish over here of the Radak, it is explosive, because it gives us much insight into Achashverosh v'hashisiyoh chados ein oines. Achashverosh also made a mishteyayin. And Achashverosh, he said, Einoy Neis, I'm not going to force you. If you don't want to drink, then don't drink. There's nothing you have to do. Here we're learning Misapeach. The Radak appears to learn that the word Misapeach has a connotation of the opposite of the Ein Oines. He would actually force his companions, his colleagues, to drink. You had no choice. You had to drink. That's what it means here, Misapeach. He would attach to them the Chamas Hayayin. I don't know what Hamas means. I think over here, maybe a possible translation would be the addiction. The addiction of Yayin. Hamas means anger, but in this context, it means something more like the addiction of Yayin. And you had no choice. And that was a technique. And he used that technique in order, I guess, to solidify his malchus. Achashverosh had a different technique. Okay, we have a little bit of an appreciation. Every word in Nach, in the Torah, in Chazal, is only fully understood or appreciated against the backdrop. And when you read the Pesukim in the Megillah, okay, very nice. You come to a party. I'm not going to force you. You go. If you're invited as a guest, someone's Shabbos meal, and they serve cholent. And you don't want to eat the cholent. No one's forcing you. Okay, maybe the hostess will be insulted. Maybe yes, maybe not. But what's the significance? Ein oines. Now we've learned today on page, I see it's interesting, on my edition, Chavakuk, it's page 613. You see on top of the page? Okay, that's a significant number. On page 613, on Lag BaOmer, we're learning about Megillas Esther, the significance to take that pasuk and to contrast it against the words misapeach chamoscha. Okay, next, leman habit al me'oirehem sheyish dakru v'yiskalu. He wanted them to become naked. K'moshna benoyach v'yishkor v'yiskal besoich oholoi. He was exposed in his tent. Nebuchadnezzar is trying to reenact the chait of Noach after the Mabel. Vayochel Noach ishu adam. Vayita korem, vayiskal besoich oholoi. What was the problem? It was vayochel. He focused on materialism before spirituality. Nebuchadnezzar, he came, he entered the scene in a time when the world had a Beis HaMikdash, when the Shekhinah was resting upon this world, the Beis HaMikdash, Hashem's Hadam Raglav, it was Hashem's home, it was the Shekhinah was present, it was a world of spirituality. And Nebuchadnezzar wanted to reenact the chait of Noach. He wanted to bring into the world chulin. He wanted to give value to chulin, to mundane matters, more than spiritual matters. Okay, that's I think a lesson that the Radak is bringing out by coming to connect this pasuk leman habit al me'orehem in order to witness the shame, the nakedness of his companions. This was a value in life. We should value chulin more than spirituality, just like Noach. Now, by the way, let's take note that according to the Radak, this has nothing to do with anti-Semitism. According to the Radak, this pasuk here is discussing the Nebuchadnezzar relative to his colleagues. Okay, we're discussing purely the Nebuchadnezzar. He's conquered the world, and there are many kings out there, and he has them all under control, they're under arrest in his home, and he is manipulating them. Okay, now we have word misapech. We learned it before. Let's go to the next words. Chamoscha, kama vayichlu hamayim en achemes. Oh, so I didn't appreciate this. It says chemes. He's saying the yayin We learned before when we mentioned the word chema, I always translated it as anger. He is suggesting it means the container, the jug, the barrel of wine, the jug of wine. So it means misapecha moscha, he would force them or would attach to them the container of yayin. He put on the table delicious wine, delicious bottles of wine. Vayichlu ha'mayim menachemis. Aval, the Radak says, if I'm going to say the word chemis over here, the word chamosicha with a komatz comes from the word of a container, it's not correct. Aval eino mi mishkaloi. It's not grammatically correct. Ela mi mishkal chamas miyayin, which from Hosea, which once upon a time we learned, which if I'm not mistaken, there it means chamas, it means angry, it means you're heated up. Person drinks too much wine, their blood pressure goes up, their mind, there's too much blood going through their mind, they behave in ways that are not normal. V'achocham, Rabbi Avraham Ibn Ezra, Zal, Perash, Apostik, Azidrech, Moshel, Mashkerei, so we have now Nupshat, Mashkerei, Ukois, Hatarela, that Nebuchadnezzar gave them to drink from the toxic cup, Vatishakreim, Bachamoscha, Uperush, Chamoscha, Kamechamas, Mayim, Kamosha Perashti, and he learns the word chamoscha, like we said before, chemas mayim, the container. So what's the mashal here? What is he trying to do to Ibn Ezra? He gave them to drink a poison cup. I'm not sure. Let's see. I'm not sure what he means over here. I think what he's saying the same pshat as we learned in the Mitzudos and Rashi, for that matter. According to the Radak, this is not a toxic cup. This is a delicious cup of yayin. There's no toxicity here. Everything over here is fine and good. He's giving them to drink in order just to manipulate their minds so he can do with them aveirois or can brainwash them. According to Mitzudos and Rashi and Ibn Ezra, what it means here, it's a mashal, is that Nebuchadnezzar is bringing upon the world suffering. He's bringing upon the world poison. He's poisoning the world. He's infecting the world with misery and horror. And that is, the mashal is not, it's not a cup of wine in the ordinary sense. It's the kois hatar ela. That's the mashal. V'yoyser nochon lefarish leperushoi chamoscha kemashmoi. So he says over here that according to Ibn Ezra, wants to say that this pasuk over here refers to the kois hatarela. Why does he have to say the word chamosecha means a container? It could mean the kois hatarela, you can preserve the mashal of misery even if you translate the word chamosecha to mean anger. And in this context, the anger just means people are nasty. Okay, we know today, you walk on the street, people are very, very bitter, rightfully so. They don't have parnasa. Many don't have parnasa. And there are a lot of problems. And when a person is miserable, there is an element of chema. And he's coming to question the Radak, the Ibn Ezra. Ibn Ezra, just because you want to learn this pasuk as Mitzudos and Rashi, that it's a mashal for the kois hatarela, what's holding you back from translating the word chamosicha as anger? What did you need to translate the word chamosicha milosh and chemas as a container? That's not correct. The nikud does not fit. Okay, min afachema. V'yomar zeh al derech v'ashakrem b'chamosi. And I have a source. Yeshaya, Hashem says, I will make them intoxicated in my anger. That even though the other word bachamosi means in the anger of Hashem, not in the anger of the person, but obviously there's a relationship between intoxication and anger, whether it's the person who is making you bitter, he's the one that is angry, or the person that drinks too much, he becomes meshuga and gets angry. But there's obviously a relationship, and therefore, what was holding you back? Further, Laman Habit, Leman yeroe kiloinam lechol v'yiskale. Everyone should witness their shame and be exposed. V'nachanu ze aperish shayir ha'pasik derech mashal l'fish amar tisay v'lecha koysi min Hashem. And the Radak endorses this perish. I endorse the Ibn Ezra, the president. I endorse this pshat. It is an excellent pshat, and that's really what the Mitzudas David and Rashi said. His own pshat again was that he's giving them to drink in order to play with them, to do averos. Next, Savata Koloin. Savata mikiloin malche ha'amim. What does that mean, Koloimar? Mileisa ritzoi nafshecha lehakel nichvidei eretz. You have enjoyed yourself. V'yahavta ha'koloin yoysa min ha'kovayid. Okay, so he is learning over here, l'shitasa, that we're discussing Nebuchadnezzar. We're not discussing anti-Semitism. We're discussing Nebuchadnezzar and his behavior with his colleagues. He behaved in a shameful way. He did shameful acts of abomination, to'eva. What are you doing, Meshugana? Behave yourself. Act in a dignified way. When they go back home to their home countries, they should say nice things about you. Instead, you have raped them. And when they're going to go home, they're going to say, this guy Nebuchadnezzar, he's an animal, he's a Meshugana. You satisfied yourself. You did yourself in. You dug your own grave. Shesei gamata tishte gamata k'mayhem tishatia nikla le'nikol kolema be'oisa kois koloin she'eshkisam. What goes around comes around. Right now, I have to go and put up a new image on the screen. Okay, so let me take a picture. Yes.
So we see that the word kolon, which means shame, comes from the word kal, to cheapen or degrade.
Correct. Kal, Lashon kal, correct,
yes. I've mentioned that before, but I see he got there first. Okay.
Okay, we continue. Page 615. Tishte gam ata. You also will suffer the shame. V'chein ho'in v'chanetzah nikla b'chayim kishanitam b'nei adam. We always go back to this. V'dar ben achayos, he became an animal. Nebuchadnezzar turned into an animal. V'chein b'moysoi, when he died, he was humiliated. His son, Evil Meroidach, dragged his bones in the street. He pulled him out of the grave. May your shame, kimosha yisa makle hamalachim lahashkaisam l'shachakineshatira or losam, just like you intoxicated them, so you can see their orla. Now, isn't that, it's a very interesting word. He's saying over here is that because Nebuchadnezzar engaged in Mishkav Zohar, so we are describing the physical orla. Okay, the word orla, according to the Mitzudas and Rashi, when we use the word beheorel, they either said it means nakedness, it's just an expression, or it means that you will become confused, an orel lev. You can't make a decision. You're confused. You don't know how to conduct yourself. According to the Radak, Radak is much more graphic. Radak is saying that what did Nebuchadnezzar do? He's alluding to what it says in Rashi, is that he gave the kings yayin so, until they became drunk, and then did with them an avera. What is the avera? Mishkav Zohar, which involves the Orla, involves this Aver. Just like what you have done to them, it will be done to you. What goes around comes around, and so too Vehe Orel, the Imam, that's how he appears to learn the word in a very literal sense. Okay, next. Vehe Orel, Uvdech Mashal, okay, I'm reading that over here, five lines down. Now he goes back to the other interpretation that over here, if we're referring over here to not the first pshat of giving them to drink to do with them in Aver, but if we learn the other interpretation that Nebuchadnezzar is bringing upon the world suffering, and the cup of Yayin is not a real cup of Yayin. It's just a metaphor, it's a mashal for the kos hatarela, the toxic cup, which means to bring upon this world pain and suffering and confusion. So here is another great word. We have to add this to, we have to make a list of all the words that you can change the letters, invert the letters. There is simla, samla, kesev, keves. And here we have the word vehe orel, kmo vehe roel. Put the resh before the ayin. What is ra'al? Ra'al means poison. Okay, so this is really a great word. We have to write down all those words. Make a collection of all the words of what we call as the hepech words, where the letters, the order of the letters can be inverted. And when you do that, you open up a new world of interpretation. We have already so far three different translations for the word vehei orel. You'll be naked, that's what the Targum said. The Targum, and then we had all the other commentators, it means you will be confused, like the orlas halev. And now we have a third interpretation that we're not reading it correctly. We have to exchange the resh for the ayin, and then it means ra'al, poison. That's what the pasuk goes further. May the right hand of Hashem come upon you and bring upon you this cup. Kois hatar ela shesi bavta al kol hagoyim lahashkoisim al yatra. This cup of poison which you have passed around to all the nations and given them to drink, the misery that you've brought upon the world, achere she shoysom, ti sovelecha akoy slash koyscha. You also have a sip, Nebuchadnezzar. Who do you think you are? What goes around comes around, kamo shakasim sefer Yirmiyahu, kachas akoys hayayin achema, take for yourself the koys of chema. Next words, v'ki kolo in al kivoydecha, Kikoloin Yaviluchal Kvoidecha Vamit. Kikoloin Mila Murkeves min ki vikoloin. It's a composite word. Two words come together. Ki is vamit. Koloin is shame. When a drunk is lying in the street and he is rolling in his own vamit, it is disgraceful. And that's what it means, the ki koloin. We learned this before. Since the vocabulary here is in reference to a drunk, a shikur, so we refer to vomit, because a shikur vomits, a shikur meki. V'chein omar, ki to'ois shikur b'kioi, like ki to'ois means he rolls. Ki to'ois means he moves. He moves about in a violent way, a shikur, an intoxicated fellow in his vomit. V'tikim yonison v'hei orel, he's going back to what Rashi told us. It means nakedness. V'is artal perash inyan eroim. V'chein tirgum eroim artilo'o. You, Nebuchadnezzar, will be naked. You will be put to shame. Pasuk Yitzayin. Ki chamas levonoin yichasecha. Perash chamas sh'asis levonoin. The violence that you have brought about, the violence that you have inspired to be poured upon the Levanon. What is the Levanon? Vehi Eretz Yisrael. It's exactly what it said in the Mitzudos. Vehi Eretz Yisrael. K'moy Shamar. Ho'horat ha'vazeh v'ha'levanon. Even though they're a Chazal, when they talk about v'ha'levanon, they refer to the Beis HaMikdash. Over here, obviously, the Radak is has Divin Maim Chazal, and the word Halavon refers to Eretz Yisrael. Hechamos ahu yichasecha v'abdech v'abdecha ad shloi teiro eod. It will cover you, and you will be destroyed. The rule is, what goes around comes around. Midah keneged midah, the Ribbono Shel Olam b'midah she'ata moided bo moididin loy. Whatever you do to someone else ultimately comes back to you. Shalach lachmach al pnei hamayim ki b'roiv yamim timtza'ena. Investments. Life is all about making investments. Every act of kindness that we do to someone ultimately will come back to us. When you're doing a kindness with someone else, what you're really doing is a kindness with yourself and with your children. Because the chasadim that you put into motion, ultimately it boomerangs back against you. And likewise, the insult and the harm and the irresponsible behavior that you behave regarding someone else, ultimately, it will come back to haunt you. It will come back. You're only harming yourself. This is the yesod, and the only problem is, it can take years, decades, even generations until the full circle is closed. And we have to have patience. We have to have emuna and patience. But that's the way Hashem made the world. And that we are Zeicha. We're living in 2020. We're living in the year of hindsight. 2020, hindsight is 2020. So we're living over here, be'ikvasa de Mashiach, and we all can see in our lifetimes, and we also can see the more we study history, what goes around comes around. And that's what it says over here by Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar, who do you think you are? Whatever you do to someone else, that ultimately is what's going to happen to you. Pasik v'shoid behemos yichisan. The shoid is another word which means violence. Shoid, it's interesting, we always this goes back to another one of our rules. Our rules is shad. Shad it represents the part of the body that nurses the child. And there is no greater act of kindness, chesed, than a mother or love of a mother nursing her child. And yet that same shoresh, shindalid, which represents the purest act of kindness of a mother to an infant, it represents the most extreme act of cruelty, of destroying the world. Shod v'shever. How could that be? Same thing. We had this principle only 100 times. Yishrosh yisharesh. To take root and to uproot. The same exact letters, when you manipulate them, produce the extreme opposite results. So here we have shod is violence. It comes from shad. Shad means the part of the body of a woman which nursed the child. Okay, so this to show the violence of the behemos yichisan, v'chein hashoid shasisa lashoichnim ba yichascha, that you have done to shasisa lashoichnim ba, that you've done to the people that dwell in the land, it will cover you. It will boomerang back upon you. After we compared the land to the Levanon, to this forest called Levanon, so now we compare the people that live in the land to the creatures that live in the land. What is the Levanon? The Levanon is a forest. It's a yar eitzim. K'moshi Omar, ulevanon ein day boer. V'chayosoy ein dey oila. Okay, the Levanon, there is not a sufficient enough of wood. If we want to go honor Hashem, it's an expression. Boer means the wood of the Levanon would not be enough to offer for fuel for the Mizbeach to offer korbanos. And the animals that roam around in the Levanon, all of them together would not be enough to properly thank Hashem, to offer oilos, to give thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this in this pasuk in Yeshaya as well, we see the word behema, the ad chayos, which is similar to the word behema, goes together with the word the levana. So he said his interpretation of the Radak is identical to what it said in the Mitzudai Stavit. We're referring to Eretz, the Levano is a reference to a code word for Eretz Yisrael, and the Behemoth is a code word for the people that live in Eretz Yisrael. Not like Rashi, who didn't want to do that. Rashi, it appeared, was disturbed. How can you call the Jewish people Behemoth? How can you say such a thing about a Jew? So that's why Rashi said the Behemoth refers not to the Jewish people, but it refers to Nebuchadnezzar. It refers to Nebuchadnezzar's army, to his troops, to his battalions, to his army. We're calling Nebuchadnezzar the enemy, the behema. But that's not what the Radak and the Metudos, they have no problem learning this with reference to Klal Yisrael. Further, okay, we go, let's finish up over here. V'shoyd behemos, next, hu damam sheshafach v'chein perush arakein, then there's poetic repetition, midmei adam v'chamas eretz, kirya v'chol yoyeshei ba, poetic repetition, you're going to be punished as punishment for the blood of man that you have spilled, and for the violence that you've poured out upon the land, including Yerushalayim and all those who live within. Ukvar perashnu ki kirya omar al Yerushalayim. Good. Now he goes on to a new interpretation. Rabbi Yoina perash. I don't know who this Rabbi Yoina is. Doesn't tell us. Kain omar lemelech bavel. So he said to Melech Bavel, Hechamosha sisa lulavanon. Okay, we're talking about Melech Bavel, who refers to Nebuchadnezzar. I'm assuming that to be Nebuchadnezzar. Hechamosha sisa lulavanon, she eres Yisrael, Yechase oischa kolaymar, Yoshev chamoscha beroishcha, Acha shasisa kamarois, Lesoif yeshuvu v'yachulu al roishcha. Okay, so that's exactly the same so far. It will booming against you. Kichain shoid Behemos yechisan. Now, what does that mean? Ki hashoid shayasu habehemos betarfam. We're giving over here a mashal. Giving over here a mashal. Let's take a step back. Before we go into this new interpretation, let's just review. Until now, we've learned that in punishment for the violence that you have poured out upon the behemos. Upon the Jewish people who are called the behemos of the Levanon, the retribution will be the next word, yichisan, you will be cut down. Rabbeinu Yoina is saying that's not the pshat, but instead we're giving a mashal. We have to go to college and study, take a course in zoology. That's probably not the right, probably not field. But to study animals and to study the nature of animals. And he writes here, there's a mashal. And here he goes. Ki ashoit sheyasu habehemos betar from teref rav, yamim rabim. What happens in the animal world? Animals are violent and they rip apart prey. And they do this continuously. Ula besoiv pamachas ye osva leim harbe anoshim. But the end is, men come against the animals, v'yochetu v'yahargu oisam, and they kill the animal. Okay, you ever go into someone's office, and they have over on top of their desk a bear, the head of a bear, or a tiger, or whatever. They have all these medals, all these hunters, they love to display their success by hanging over their desk trophies, and they have trophies. They have the actual animal. They have the head of the animal. They have a bear. They put the head of the bear. They somehow preserve it. I don't know how they do this. They preserve it and they hang it up in their house and over their desk. Now let me ask you a question. That bear, how many victims suffered because of that bear? This fellow, this doctor, this lawyer, this hunter, this famous person in his office proudly displays his skill in hunting and has the beer over. He won. He killed the beer. But let's go pull out the file on the beer. What did the beer accomplish in its life? Which college did it attend? Who were his friends? What did it accomplish? And if we study the history of the beer, if we take out its CIA file, we'll discover that it was a serial killer. It murdered many, many poor creatures out there in the forest. And what happened at the end? This fellow who's sitting behind a desk went hunting one day, took out a shotgun, shot it in the head, and here it is. Ultimately, the bear met its end in punishment for the violence that it poured out upon the creatures of the forest. That's what it says over here. Nachamol, ki ashoit shiyasa behemos b'tar from teref rav yom rabim. The bear, it ripped apart other creatures for many days, for years. But what was the end? V'labesoif, pamachas, one day, it was a beautiful day, and Dick Cheney went out with George W. into the forest, and he picked up his shotgun, and he almost shot his own people. But in the process, he killed a creature. Pamachas, yosvelem harbi anoshim, v'yochetu, and he cut it down. V'yahargoisim, and killed his spear. Kainata, so to you, Nebuchadnezzar, you're no different. You went and you killed all these, you went and you brought misery and suffering upon the entire world. The end is going to be, you will be conquered, you will be shot, you will be conquered, and you'll be hung up in the museum showing, look what we got, look who we caught. Kainata, kol hechamosha, sisa kamashan, yeshuvu ilecha, bepamachas, hakol vichascha, it will cover you. In other words, it seems like it's saying almost is that Nebuchadnezzar, he had in his office a bear, a trophy bear, right behind his desk. And Ribbono Shel Olam said, Nebuchadnezzar, you're going to be just like the bear that's right on top of your head, behind you on the wall. Just like the bear was a violent wild chaya, pshuto kimashmoy, and the day came where you shot it and you hang it up here in your office to show proudly how powerful you are. You think you're so powerful? One day someone's going to hang up your head in their office to show that you have been conquered. It's a mashal. The end of the pasuk is a mashal for the beginning of the pasuk. The beginning of the pasuk says, Nebuchadnezzar, the day of reckoning is coming. Ki chamas levonon yichasecha. The Hamas, the violence that you have poured out on the Levana will cover you, just like the Shoid Behemois Yichisan. Just like the violence that the Behemois, that the Behemois have brought upon other creatures, ultimately cut themselves down. It boomeranged against them, they were cut down. Now, is this pasuk coming to tell us over here a principle that there's something called hashkocha pratis by animals? Can you make that argument? That's a big, big controversial topic. We know that by human beings, there's something called hashkocha pratis. Every little thing that happens, it's min hashamayim. If you put your hand into your pocket and you want to take out a quarter and you take out a nickel, it's behashkocha. Everything by Hashkocha Pratis, there's a reason for every little, what would appear to be insignificant event, in the most insignificant thing in your life, it's by Hashkocha Pratis. By Goyim, is there also such a intensity of Hashkocha Pratis? It's a big debate, it's not so simple. Can you say that if a Goy puts his hand into his pocket and he takes out a nickel instead of a dime, that's Bahashkocha Pratis? Is there such a thing? The Pashtus is yes, but it's not so simple. And then let's go further. What about animals? If an animal, does an animal have free will? Well, no one knows. I mean, how do we know? No one knows what goes on in their mind. Anyone can really tell us what's going on in their mind? Do they have free will? Does an animal know from what's right, what's wrong? rachamim, not rachamim, an animal decides to has an opportunity to kill another creature, and it decides, you know what? I will have rachmanis upon you. I'll have pity upon you. Is there such a thing? I don't know. No one knows. Who can say? Who can say such a thing? If this pasuk, according to the Radak, really according to Rabbeinu Yoina, is opening up a can of worms, he's opening up that there is such a thing of hashkocha by animals. Because look at the mashal. You don't have to say that. You can manipulate your interpretation, but he's saying something very, very interesting. He's saying that you Nebuchadnezzar, who do you think you are? You think you have free reign, you're gonna kill everyone, you're gonna destroy the world. Don't worry, there's a Ribbono Shel Olam, he's watching, and the Mida Sha'ata Moideit Ba Moidin Ba. And you know what the mashal is? The mashal is the bear head hanging behind your desk. This bear was a Rasha, just like you. It went and it killed many, many creatures. Had no rachmanis. It went out there, who knows what it did in its lifetime. And one day you came along and you saw it out in the field and you shot it and you hang it up in your desk, behind your desk. There's a day of reckoning. There's a day of reckoning for the animal and there's a day of reckoning for the bear and there'll be a day of reckoning for you. Wait a minute. What does that mean exactly? And let's say there was a bear. Maybe the bear never did anything. Maybe the bear never killed an innocent creature, never had an opportunity. Does that mean to say that Nebuchadnezzar, that bear, you never would have had an opportunity, b'hashkocha pratis, you never would have been able to find such a bear and kill it because Hashem would protect that bear from you? Is that what the pasuk is saying? That's what it seems like. It seems like it was selected, this bear, to be murdered, be killed, because this bear was guilty. And you're also guilty, so you're going to have to be punished. That's what it appears to be saying, at least to some degree. It's getting over here a very interesting mashal. Okay, let's go further. Then he goes to Yoinasan. The Yoinasan tier game. Yoinasan was pretty much the mashal, the Kois HaTarela. Arei Chatoif Beis Makdisha. Because you grabbed the Beis HaMikdash, Yoinasan learns the word Levonoin as a reference to what? Not to Eretz Yisrael, but rather to the Beis HaMikdash. Because you grab the Beis Mikdasha, Yachafeinoch Uvizas Amemaya Tis Birinoch. Now what does that mean? He actually translates this for us. He says, Tergim Levonon Beis Makdashoch, the Beis HaMikdash. He goes on to explain, we'll leave that. But what is the translation? He's saying, because you have done to the Beis HaMikdash, you will be snatched. And the Bizas Amei Tisbirinach Midmei, and you and the Bizas of the... Okay, I'm not sure what those words mean. It seems like that you will suffer divine retribution because of what you have done to the Beis HaMikdash. The main point he's making here is that the word Levonoin either means Eretz Yisrael in its entirety, or it means Yerushalayim. Okay, that concludes the Radak. We have some time still. Let's now look at the Malbum. The Malbum begins in Pasuk Tezvav. Now it's very, very short on Pasuk. You know what? I'm just going to read it because it's short. I don't want to take too much time. Okay, I'll read it for you. If you have it on your edition, wonderful. If not, I'll just summarize it. Savata. Oh no! I made a mistake. There is a lot of Malbum. Okay, no, there's not that much. Okay, there's not that much, Mom. So let me just summarize it for you. Hoy, ato yisaper guva maisa eich bo ansham al yidei sheshosu yayin mikli beis hamikdash. The Malbum says, we're now going to describe Baal Shetzar. According to the Malbum, the psukim are describing Baal Shetzar. If you notice, there are basically three mahalchim in these three psukim. we're either describing Nebuchadnezzar, or we're describing his grandson Belshazzar, or we are describing Edom. We're describing the time of the Churban Bayis Sheni, way, way ahead in Nevuah, what's going to happen way, way ahead, much later on. Three different Mahalchim. The Malbim Lishitasa tells us, the Sukkim are describing the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar. Omar, Hoy Mashke Re'eyu Shebelshazzar Hishkes Re'eyov Shehem Sodev Mechlea Migdash. We know the story. It was that fateful night of the handwriting on the wall where Belshazzar made a calculation. It's been 70 years since Nebuchadnezzar was recognized in an editorial in the New York Times, Washington Post, and the Wall Street Journal. All three, the trio, they all three together acknowledged that Nebuchadnezzar is now officially the new superpower. He is the new boss in town. He took out the newspaper, he read the editorials from exactly 70 years ago, when Nebuchadnezzar conquered Egypt, and they wrote it up. It's now been exactly 70 years since his rise to fame, to power. And what about Yirmiyah? Yirmiyah, the Jewish prophet, he said, Lefi Melois, LeBavel, Shivim Shana, Efkoid Eschem. After Bavel has been filled with 70 years, I will remember my people, my Jewish people. Nothing doing. The Jewish people are sleeping. They're gone. They're in exile. There's not even any lachluchis, any moisture to believe that there will be a renaissance for the Jewish people. And therefore, it must be that Yirmiyahu Hanavi was a false prophet. And to celebrate, he took out the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash, and he gave, and that's what the Pasuk says, he was mashke lireyehu. He was mashke, he gave out lireyehu, and as he learns, similar to the Radak, the translation for lireyehu means re'ov. We have to translate it as if it says in the plural, he called all of his friends, and he took out the kelim, and he gave them a lachayim. There's not going to be a renaissance for the Jewish people, and we can celebrate. And Hashem says, woe to you, tippish, you stupid fool. Woe to you to take out the kelim and to give to drink a lechayim to your friends. Misapeach hamoscha. We're getting now. What does it mean now? And we learn, according to, we learned already so many perushim, all the perushim that we learned fit very well, according to Edoim, and according to Rashi, and the Mitzudos, and the Radak, and the Nebuchadnezzar. But how are you going to translate these mysterious words if you learn they're referring to Belshazzar? Zemavo, Alpimasha Kosta B'Yirmiyah, Nun Aleph, Bichumam, Oshis, when they are in a state of heat. Okay, so Av is coming to the word Chema, heat. Oshis, Es Mishtehem, I will give them to drink. Es Mishtehem, Vehishkartim, Leman Ya'alozu, V'yoshnu Shenas Oilam. I will inspire them to drink, and I will cause them to become intoxicated, so that they exult, they pride themselves, so that they are murdered, and they sleep forever. They sleep with the fish. They die. The Yashnu Shnas Olam. So he explains. This is the pasuk in Yirmiyah. What does this mean in our context? She'es. When they began to drink from the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash, okay, you don't have this. I'm just reading over here. Some lohem Hashem chimum. This Hashem chimum gadol shenischam mu'oid v'achar kach nishtaku ad sheyoshnu b'tardemas olam v'loshamu meharigas Belshazzar, and they didn't even know he was dead. Umiboy chel pras umodai. Okay, so he learns over here, Nisrech means they were attached. Yaf Shaker, Vigam Nishtaku, Me'oid Laman Habit al Me'oreim, al Sheikiu Esayayin, Okay, so I just read the words. I'm going to summarize because you don't have the words for most of you. And what it means over here is, it means to attach. He's learning over here, mistapecha moscha, to attach the heat. He's connecting this, the word chema here, he learns to mean, he learns miloshna of cham, heat. When they drank this wine, it caused a reaction, some type of physical reaction where they were, had a fever. They had some type of a reaction. And Hashem says that I am going to, when Belshazzar gave his colleagues to drink from the cups of wine that was served in the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash, it caused them to become hot. Misapecha moscha, the heat, it almost sounds like the illness. Okay, today, he caught a fever. It was contagious. Nebuchadnezzar, this is what it seems to be saying. I'm not making this up. It seems that Nebuchadnezzar, he was sick. Belshazzar was suffering from a virus. I'm not making this up. And the virus manifested itself in him having a high fever, a very, very high fever. And when Nebuchadnezzar, he poured a cup of wine to his colleagues, he gave them the germs. And it was contagious. He was contagious. And they caught his illness. Misapech means it attached chamoscha, the fever, your fever that you suffered from was attached. It was contagious. You infected your friends when you gave them to drink from your cup of wine. And you kept on making them sicker and sicker, vi'af shaker, to make them intoxicated. Leman haben, why did all of this happen? So the pasuk concludes this vi'af shaker, and they got very, very sick, shekir es hayayin, to the point, leman, they got so sick, they drank so much wine, to the point where they vomited, and it can be seen by the people in the palace, their vomit. The word me'oireim, he translates here to mean their vomit, and their disgrace, and their disgrace. Now the word misapech is very, I was trying to remember, the word misapech is found by Naaman. This is very, very important. By what was the story with Gehazi? Gehazi, Elisha, and Naaman. What has this is very critical to understand this sugya, this pasuk here. Naaman had tsoras. Naaman was the king of, I forgot already, a king of one of the Goshen nations. He had tsoras.
He was a general.
A general for who? Aram. Of Aram?
Yeah, a general.
A general. And he had tsoras his whole life. And one day his wife said to him, there's a prophet here in town, Elisha. Why don't you go? What do you got to lose? Maybe he can help you. You can be cured from the tsoras. So he goes to Elisha. Elisha tells him to be toivel in the mikvah. He tells him where to be toivel in the river. He tells him what to do, and he does it. And guess what? He's healed. He's healed miraculously. So he has such hakaras hatoiv. He wants to give Elisha a lavish gift. And he sends the lavish gift through, I don't remember all the details, I've got everything already, but he sends it through his servant Gehazi. He sends the gift with him. And Elisha says, nothing doing. I don't want your gift. Give it back to him. But Gehazi could not resist. Gehazi, he saw the money, he wanted the money, he was desperate, so he lied. And he said, yeah. He really wants to, he's taking the gift. And Gehazi lied to Naaman. He said that Elisha really does want the gift, and he took it. And he took it for himself. When Elisha found out what Gehazi did, he cursed him. How dare you? What a chil Hashem. How dare you go and betray me and lie? And the curse was, may the tsoras of Naaman, may it cleave to you. And the word he uses there is misapeach. So it's used in reference to a disease cleaving to another person. I have to read you the pasuk because it really captures what the Malbim is saying, and it's very relevant today. It's very relevant today in what's going on. Okay, Parshas Tazria Mitzora. Tazria Mitzora. We have here the story of Parshas Mitzora, not Tazria. The Arba Anoshim.
That's later.
No. I made a mistake. I'm sorry, Tazria. Parshas Tazria. Vayoshav es ish el ish lokim huvcho machaneu. Okay, vayomer namon. Voloi, you tano li avdecho masa tseme. I want to give you a gift. No, so it doesn't say here in these psukim. You have to go later in the psukim.
Yeah, I don't think it goes quite up.
Right, in the Haftorah, it doesn't actually quote it.
Only is the cure, not
the curse.
What happens after.
Okay, so we have to go look. I don't have time. We'll go look it up later on. But here in that pasuk, it used the word the curse of Elisha was may the illness, the disease, the tzaras that was miraculously healed from Naaman, may now it cleave to you. And the word is misapeach. May it cleave, it should attach itself. So when you take that word in that context and you transport it here to Habakkuk, it's very powerful, and you learn what it says over here in the Malbim, and the Malbim brilliantly connects it to what it says in Yirmiyah. Savata and the Yirmiyah describing exactly this story, and he quotes that pasuk, and there the word chema bichumam, and in that context, the word chumam is really used in reference to a fever. It sounds like it's saying, maybe I'm wrong, but it sounds like is that when Balshetzar took out the kelim of the Beis Hamikdash, the chutzpah caused him to catch a virus. He got sick. And when he went and mashkere ehu, and when he went then and he poured a lechayim to his friends, he took the goblet of the barrel of wine and he poured into the cup of the Klei Beis Hamikdash, and he gave it to his friend, and he was already suffering from this heat, meaning this illness that came upon him as a punishment for his chutzpah. The people that took the cup got sick. It was contagious. Mashhoi, mashkereyehu, you Balshetzar, the subject is Balshetzar. You're giving to drink, you're giving a toast to your friends, Beloshen Rabim, like Re'ehov. When you give them to drink, you know what you're doing? You're making them sick. It's contagious. You are infecting them. Misapeach hamoscha. You are infecting them with your fever, with your heat. The af shaker, and then the pasuk goes on to say, you didn't just give them a small drink; you gave them a large drink. Laman habit al me'oirehem, you gave them a lot to drink in order that they should get drunk and vomit and lie down on the ground. And by doing that, in essence, what you've done is you've killed them together with you. Your sickness is contagious. Your arrogance, your wickedness in celebrating the end of the Jewish people—it's a disease. It's a disease that is contagious, that was spread to your friends, and ultimately all of you will be destroyed for what you have done. Okay, we'll stop here. Tomorrow we'll continue. We have a little more Malbim to do. We'll continue with Shem tomorrow a little more. We'll take a short break.